So football's done, and that's a bummer. The game ended in such a, I don't say disappointing way. It was a really thrilling game, but it ended in such a,
Yeah.
Okay. Even with my Chiefs bet, and I bet the Chiefs heavy, I still felt like, Yeah, I wanted to see the Eagles drive. I've mentioned this to people before, even with betting. It's like, you're not, I don't think most people bet for the actual win. They're betting for the feeling, you know?
The juice.
They're betting for the juice. And so once the Chiefs won, I was like, it's lame.
Yeah.
Anyways, we'll get into the game in a second. I asked Ailish Forfar to stay here for a couple minutes for a couple reasons.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hi.
Thank you for staying, even though.
You're welcome.
Like, you could not have wanted to stay.
No. I want to go home. But for you, it's, anything, JD.
I know. You do hosting. Although, yeah. Once I saw you down at the. You're
outdoor
down
practice?
At City Hall.
Yeah.
Yeah, doing outdoor practice with
the mascots.
Yeah,
it was really fun.
Yeah, okay, so that was like added duty for you.
Yeah, I did both days, actually.
Yeah, normally you just, you're doing the arena
stuff. I just
stuff.
Do this.
No, I mean like the, all right.
Yeah. No, it was really great.
I thought it was just you were only confined to the actual home games. Now I'm looking at it going, whoa, she's even doing even
more. I do
more.
Exit the arena at times,
yeah, that's
too.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay,
so you're doing the show. So I'm not going to keep you too long. Mm-hmm. I just have a couple of things for you. One is that when I entered the studio today, you and Justin Cuthbert were discussing payment of a bet.
Yes.
But okay. No,
now it lives on two podcasts.
You brought her on to roast
her.
No, I'm not.
You lost $200.
No, I'm not. This is the thing. I'm not roasting her.
Okay, good.
I have a couple of thoughts on this. So for this audience, this podcast.
Should I explain?
Yeah. So tell a story that you said today.
Quickly,
why
we,
you owe Justin
we made
$200.
A Super Bowl prop sheet, which you could have played along on Google Forms with. Great. And he submitted a couple. He's like, hey, add a couple of these questions. And they sucked. And one of them was, will the Chiefs do a ring around the rosy? And I said, this is the dumbest thing. I'm not putting this in the prop sheet. I'm holding myself to a higher standard. You'll see why this sucks in the end for me. And
we know why it does.
Yeah. And so I said to him, I said, this is so stupid. I'm not adding that. I said, I'll give you $200 if the Chiefs do the ring around rosy, because I felt so confident. Anyway, last night I'm watching and they do a small version of the ring around the rosy, but nonetheless, a real ring around the rosy. And obviously, Justin has the receipts. He screenshotted our message and he tweeted it.
Now it was in text.
Yeah, and now I owe him $200 for the stupidest thing ever.
Okay, so a couple thoughts here. One is, he claims you said it multiple times. You're sticking to
it. I said it over text and he has the screenshots. And then one time in the room, we were talking between breaks.
He has audio and screenshots.
No, but it wasn't on, the record button wasn't on. So really, did it happen? I don't know. You could Photoshop anything these days too.
Okay, well, here's the thing. No, don't pull that.
I'm so bitter.
Don't pull that. I have two thoughts. One is, how much is too much money to bet amongst colleagues?
That is too much money.
I agree.
I thought $50 as a joke, but I said $200 because I had no idea it was going to happen.
Okay, but
obviously.
This is where you were in the wrong.
I crossed the line.
No, this is where you were in the wrong. Because it wasn't a bet necessarily, because like you weren't getting anything back if there wasn't one. Like, he didn't give you odds.
Decision.
It was just a confidence bet almost.
So if you're playing any game of like you should be out of it, these are the two cards you have to play. One is that forking over $200 to a colleague.
That's actually ridiculous.
Well, it's like that's going to cause friction. So for the sake of the show, Cuthbert should not accept this money.
Did you hear what he offered?
Yeah, he said something like, I'll take everyone to brunch and I'll pay, but that's kind of, yeah.
So I think we should void the bet. Yay, it's over.
Well, okay, but here's where the problem lies for you, in my opinion. Anybody can weigh in on this. You said a realistic amount. You weren't like, I'll give you $1,000.
What if I said that, though?
No, if you said that.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yes, if you said $1,000.
An amount that's kind of like, I guess I should hold you to it. I know. I screwed up big time.
It's below the bar of like unrealistic.
Like
if I said
$500, he's like, no, of course. $200 is like, it sucks for you, but you kind of said $200.
Yeah, but I saw his face. And he was like,
you serious?
I know. He was like,
he's not messing around.
Yeah.
And I tried to yell to him. I said, Justin,
I want that $200.
I said, I'm getting a puppy soon. I'm not going to be able to afford it. And he's like, he doesn't care.
Wow. What a heartless guy.
Well, no, I tried to like milk. I said, you know, I'm struggling for rent is expensive in Toronto. And like, I'm not taking the TTC because I'm worried. So I'm Ubering. I tried every excuse under the book. And he said, no, you're giving me $200.
I like how you're like, I thought that was going, I'm not taking the TTC. I'm trying to save money. I'm walking. And instead, you were like, I'm doing a far more expensive form of transportation.
That is
that's completely unnecessary.
So
and I could actually cut that from my budget immediately and pay this quickly.
I could cycle for way cheaper.
I'm certainly giving him $200, unfortunately.
So I think what you do is you don't give him the $200 so that he gets the credit for the brunch. I think what you do is you just take the team out for brunch.
But then he wants the rest of the $200.
No, that's what I'm saying. No, he does not get that. That's the compromise. No, the compromise is 100%.
Hey, I'm taking your word.
No,
JD's on my side.
No, this is, I'm telling you, there's just, if one of these guys had to owe me $200, I couldn't accept it. It's too weird. It's like,
it's a colleague bet.
That's too much for a colleague bet. Yeah. Like, Ennis and I used to do $100 bets all the time. Mm-hmm. But that's what we would go for beers after a show.
Yeah.
So essentially it just turned into, hey, you lost this bet. And then it would always kind of be like a roundup. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, well, I got these beers. This bill came to like $75.
Yeah, whatever.
I tipped. That's the bet. Great.
Right.
Done.
Yeah.
So personally, my advice is don't lay heavy bets with friends and family.
No, I will never.
Unless the only ones that I really love are like my friends Sean and Braden every year. Have just a standing big money bet of who will go farther or have the better season, the Jets or the Niners.
Oh, okay. That's fun.
And so it's just...
That Jets fan's probably broke right now.
Oh, he's not doing so hot.
Withdraw
from the competition.
But it's funny because the bet started when we were back in university and the Jets were...
Just for good.
Rex Ryan's
It's all coming
maybe
back to bite him now.
No, they haven't even
I'm trying out your friend.
No, I'm pretty sure that Bray is up big time. And Bray is not the kind of guy that's letting him off the hook when it comes to money.
Okay, well, I'll take your advice.
When you've got like real friends, you're making good money and you're making like long bets that aren't on one game.
Yeah.
Because one game's too hot.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have it stretch out and feel like you're getting your money's worth over the course of a season if you're betting with somebody, or it's like down the line.
Or if it's like historical too, like you've done it year after year, then it's like.
Yeah. Also, I got to say, and I've been guilty of being this person at times, there's nobody worse than the person that's like, you want to bet all the time. And you're like, okay, just let me have a take or an opinion. Without
put money on it. So,
yeah,
no, I just wanted to speak.
Yeah, exactly. I just thought I could say something without having to back this financially. So
anyway, it's my fault, but I like your spin on it.
You take people to brunch. That's the compromise. You pay for the brunch.
We'll see if he agrees to this.
He has to.
I'll send him the link for the podcast.
He's getting a free meal.
As the arbiter of this, he has
the
to.
The arbiter?
Yeah. I'm glad that you have assigned yourself to that because it's a win for me.
No. Two.
Yes.
This is my other quick question because this is a really tough thing to do when it's just like three white guys trying to weigh in on Rihanna's halftime show.
Nice.
Why did it become Beyonce versus Rihanna? Like, I didn't understand this.
I do agree. I saw that. I saw a tweet. I think Jackie even put it out there.
Listen, everybody was putting it out there. It was like, I was just watching the Rihanna halftime show.
And then
I'm having a fine time. All I'm thinking about is, wow, her catalog is super deep because...
Incredible.
It was banger after
hit
banger.
After hit.
It was. Yeah. I will say, so she is pregnant, right?
She's confirmed pregnant, yes.
That was the riskiest part of the show today.
JD has sweat beading on his forehead.
Like,
right now.
Please don't have that wrong.
Don't worry, I confirmed multiple times before I said that too.
No, because I think some people were criticizing that the actual performance itself was a little
bit
underwhelming.
She's got a baby in her.
Yeah, okay. Which, I gotta say, I actually don't think it was that underwhelming because
she was
flying in the sky.
That's what it was kind of sick.
On wires, and I felt sick to my stomach watching it.
So I felt that too, where I don't really love heights. I don't like standing on a condo balcony that's too high. And so the idea of having to sing in front of millions of people. And
it swayed. Did you see it sway that one time?
I lost it. Close-up shot. You could see it. Yeah.
And she's anchored. But even still, I'm really impressed by that.
Yeah, it was great.
Because I've gotten the sweats before doing television before, knowing that it's going out to essentially no one, where you're sitting there going, oh, okay, I gotta
walk in.
Don't faint. Don't be that newscaster that faints on live TV.
Don't be that
guy. So that's what I'm thinking of when she's coming down. Yeah, sure, fine. The dancing was whatever. I don't really care. The songs were great. I enjoyed it. It was a good appreciation of a catalog, which I think was Rihanna's goal in the first place. But I don't understand why it turned into Rihanna versus Beyonce. Like, immediately.
It definitely doesn't need to. They're completely different performers.
But that's what so there's no reason. It's just...
I honestly don't know why. And I never even crossed my mind when I was watching. More of it was like, this is awesome. She's doing this without features, too. She's
that good that she can
come out and say, here's all my songs. I don't need Jay-Z, Drake, Kanye, whatever.
I thought Kanye for like a split second.
Charles Davis on the show and he goes, would have canceled the Super Bowl. Like, he's like, I don't like... He doesn't like Kanye, obviously, for reasons that are
That's
justified.
A fine take now.
I was expecting Jay-Z, to be honest. Especially since I saw him, too.
I saw Jay-Z there and then Drake the night before played in Arizona, but anyway, nonetheless, I thought it was great that she came out. She did her own thing. She didn't need features. She said, this is my repertoire of music, and I'm going to slay, and I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
Most of them were her songs, too. Like, even, like, they didn't have features to begin with.
Yeah, so she did a great job.
Hit after hit.
But it doesn't need to be, we don't need to compare them to each other. I agree.
No, I don't mind comparisons. I just thought it was...
Like, who's better than who?
It was just interesting to me that it became those two. It wasn't like, where does this rank in the pantheon of halftime shows? I don't think it was an all-time great halftime show.
No, I will say that. I agree with you.
Like, it wasn't last year's. It wasn't the Lady Gaga one where I was like, oh, damn, that one was... Yeah, that's a little before my time, though. Like, I've seen highlights of that. I wasn't watching it live. Like, the J-Lo Shakira one was pretty badass.
That was good, actually.
A lot of young fellas got inspired that day.
Why are you looking at me when you say that?
Because you were probably like... What?
Yeah, that was really seven good. Or eight or something.
Anyway, all right, fine. I thought I was going to get a better answer to this. Like, maybe they had beef or something I didn't know about.
I don't think so.
No, okay.
I'm not aware of any beef.
All right.
Well, Jay-Z did help Rihanna come onto the scene.
Yeah.
And then Jay-Z and Beyonce have their own life story.
Well, I know.
But I don't think there's a feud there.
All right. Good to know.
I'll do some research. I'll come back.
All right. A-List Four Far.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Of the morning show. Thanks for coming in. Okay. So the game.
the
football. So the actual football game. That was a shocking comeback. I tweeted at halftime that it felt like it was going to be like the same feeling I had with 28-3. It didn't really turn out that way where Mahomes was healthier than I thought he was going to be, right? All of a sudden he was running the rock. He finished with 44 yards.
Yeah.
But halftime comes along and Jalen Hurts is slanging that thing.
Yeah.
It over 230 all-purpose yards. The Eagles offensive line was dominating. Chris Jones is screaming at his teammates and it really did feel like they couldn't get a stop.
Yeah.
The Chiefs were in the ball game because they got a, let's just say, pretty fortuitous turnover that goes for six.
Yeah.
It's a third and inches or fourth and inches, right? I think it was fourth down.
Yeah.
And the Eagles go for it and Hurts fumbles it, goes back in the end zone. They take the ball and immediately just like go back down. 10-point lead. Mahomes looks toast.
Yeah.
Like
he's limping all over the place.
Limping all over the place. A little bit of, I'm sure the ankle is really busted up and it was a lot of pain, but a little bit of Ben Roethlisberger to him now. Like where I can't trust this is not the first time Mahomes has done the like jump hobble move.
Yeah.
Like he's a serial jump hobble guy.
He's a serial 100%. Jump hobble.
No, he is. And from now on, I'm never letting a Mahomes jump hobble affect the way that I view the game. But in that moment, like his former teammate, Mitchell Schwartz, one of his offensive linemen tweeted that one looked different than the one before. He looks dejected. He looks defeated. I went, oh my God, this is real trouble. Like everybody had to wonder, had the Chiefs been able to get the ball back, whether Chad Henne, who retired, was going to be able to, or was going to get that football.
Yeah. And there was reports that he was warming up and everything. Like, yeah,
of course.
He's starting to throw the ball and everyone's like, oh boy, here we go.
I still think that's an all-time. I think that's an all-time comeback and an all-time performance. Mm. Those things considered. Just Sirianni was out coaching them.
Mm. Yeah.
The Eagles had the confidence. The run game was going. It just didn't feel like they were going to be stopped. And again, Mahomes had to score, 37 points? 38.
38-35.
38-35, right, of course. It's 3 points. It's tied.
Yeah.
38-35. That's what you felt like he needed to be able to score in that game.
Yeah.
And then the second half, he scores on every single drive. So a couple of thoughts. Number one, Andy Reid is actually the biggest winner.
Mm.
Because I mentioned it before. He would have been 1-4 in Super Bowls. Now he's 2-2.
Yeah, big legacy win.
And now it was very weird. Terry Bradshaw came on after and started doing Terry Bradshaw, I like Terry Bradshaw. I think he takes it on the chin a little too much.
Yeah.
But that was not a great performance at the end, the way that he spoke, where he's like, Andy Reid, you're going to retire? You're getting old. I was like, that's rude. That wasn't out there at all this week.
Hey, by the way, you're old. You're gonna consider that?
Well, especially since Andy Reid is 64, which in coach terms is not ancient. Yeah. He's not Belichick.
Yeah, no.
He's not Pete Carroll. He's 64 years old. Where's he going? But a great coach makes great adjustments, and he had a quarterback who was not 100%.
Mm-hmm.
His team had essentially no wide receivers, and this is not just a Patrick Mahomes thing. Like, the way that they schemed up different guys to get open, like, specifically the Sky Moore touchdown.
Yeah. And Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, but the fake in route and then breaking back to be wide open. When guys are wide open, sure, it can be viewed as defensive breakdowns, but I thought that the broadcast and Greg Olsen did a really good job of like why this gets the safety to bite.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
When guys are wide open like that and it's just, you know, pitch and throw or pitch and catch,
yep,
that to me is coaching. Mm-hmm. That is, we've seen stuff that you're doing and I'm picking you apart. And that was Andy Reid in that second half. And so to me, yeah, he and Mahomes now go down as an all-time tandem. Mm-hmm. Like when you're going to think about Patrick Mahomes, you're going to think about Andy Reid. Mm-hmm. Had he gone 1-4 in Super Bowls?
1-3.
Sorry, 1-3 in Super Bowls. And had he had his division or his championship record, had he lost to his former team, the Eagles?
Mm-hmm.
I think that there, I don't know if there would have been he's going to get fired talk because that gets a little crazy.
Yeah.
But I think we would have been doing the, hey, Eric Bieniemy's right there. And when do you flip this
make
over?
That switch, yeah.
Well, especially since he had the challenge on Dallas Goedert in that game, mm-hmm, that I thought was pretty, yeah, crap. Like in the moment, bang, bang, it looked kind of like one.
Yeah.
But they had a lot of time to look at that. And then when they brought you back from commercial, it was beyond clear it was a catch.
Yeah.
And it was called that on the field. And I went, boy, you just burned a timeout. You lost your challenge on this. This is now looming.
Yeah.
This is looming big time. 3rd and 14. But his team also didn't concede a sack.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was like one of the biggest stories in the whole thing,
against the
right?
team who had 70.
Exactly.
That and Eagles defense did nothing for the entire second half.
I hit on most of my bets. Yeah. If you follow the show and you follow my tweets, you know that I kind of nailed the Super Bowl down. I had the Chiefs money line. I had Gainwell over Rush. I had, mm-hmm, McKinnon over Rush, like at receiving, like what else? I had so many different things. I lost on Chiefs longest punt, which kind of pissed me off because,
really?
Well, yeah, because the punter kicked it way farther. It was just, they got a really, the first punt of the game, the Eagles, yeah, guy, Tony decided not, oh, to, yeah, play, yeah, it, and it bounced horrifically, and I was, no! 57-yard punt. I knew that was going to be the benchmark for the entire game, but I didn't see zero sacks coming. And especially in the second half when Mahomes was hobbled, and I thought, okay, so now he's not going to be escaped. Yep, he's not going to be able to escape the same way.
Yeah.
They're going to get home on him. Hassan Reddick had one tackle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Coaching.
Yeah.
That's the brilliance of Mahomes. The only reason I'm leading with Andy Reid is because everyone is going to want to talk about the greatness of the quarterback. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, I just thought that second half adjustments, Andy Reid dominated.
Yeah.
His offense scored every time in the second half. And that holding play or not, Andy Reid's team did that.
Yeah.
He deserves a ton of credit. He's going to go down. He's not going to pass Bill Walsh. Because, mm-hmm, you just can't, like, being an innovator, I think, in your field is just too difficult to pass.
True.
Plus, he would need so many more Super Bowls.
Yeah.
But I think he at least has a chance to be considered to be the co-greatest offensive mind in football
Maybe
history.
Maybe he sticks around with Mahomes for a couple more years.
That's what I'm
years.
Saying. Like, now it's sort of on the table for him. The pressure's off. They get one or two more. That's really, really impressive. Okay. Before we get to Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
The holding call.
Yeah, the holding call.
So, James Bradbury.
Yep.
Slightly grabs, was Juju, right?
Juju, yep. Yeah.
Juju.
And the refs end the game.
Yeah, they call holding.
We got robbed. We were all robbed of the Chiefs defense having to do something, and Jalen Hurts, like, Mahomes talked.
Game on the line, like Jalen, yeah, Hurts.
Having, yeah, a bit more time, at least.
Mahomes talked after the game about how he didn't want Jalen Hurts' performance to get lost in the shuffle. And I don't think that it will, from the standpoint of next year, the Eagles being a team that everyone considers to be one of the favorites. And there's, yeah, no more like, hey, are these guys frauds? Just because their schedule was super light. They didn't really have a lot of challenges this, yeah, season. I'm sorry, Eagles fans. You know this. It doesn't take away anything from the season for Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Their team was badass. It was a great team. We saw them play against the Chiefs. They looked really good.
Yeah.
I think that top to bottom, the roster was the most complete in all of football.
Yeah.
The biggest question mark was Jalen Hurts, and he looked like he belonged on that stage. And then 100%. Even there at the end of the game, they're down 8. He comes down. He scores a touchdown, and then he's the guy that converts the 2-point.
Yeah. The octopus.
He's terrifying in those short yardage situations.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I would seriously put him ahead of Lamar Jackson in terms of the scariest guys in those spots.
Mm.
I think it goes 1, Hurts, 2, it's hard not to have Mahomes in this, but the scariest guys where it just feels like they're going to beat you one of two ways.
Yeah.
There's 4. It's Hurts, Mahomes, Allen, and Lamar.
I was about to say Allen as well.
But yeah. I think it's pretty clear cut that Jalen Hurts is number one.
So you're putting Hurts over Lamar, like as a running quarterback, or
no? I'm
just
putting
in
him
those situations,
those short yardage situations.
Okay. One.
I trust him to be able to make the throw, and I trust him to be able to make the run. Plus, he's just the difference with him as a runner from all those other guys that he has more of the Josh Allen thing, where it's just he's powerful.
He goes through you,
yeah. Like
he's not, on the 2-point conversion, he did it. He went through like three guys.
Yeah. He can break your ankles or he can break your back. Yeah. You know, like he can do both those things.
Like Lamar's not like running through your face. Right?
Yeah, no, Lamar's just shifting past you
And I kind of wish we would have gotten to see that. Like, I'm a football fan. I want to see it. I don't want to see the refs decide a game. And so I thought it was really lame, all the people that went, oh, Bradbury said it was a hold. That's just called being a good sport.
Yeah.
You're not going to lose the Super Bowl and sit in the locker room and cry about the refs yourself when you're the person that made the penalty, committed the penalty.
Mm-hmm.
That's a horrific look. That guy would have got torched in every single way for saying it. People would have screenshot it and be like, is this you? It would have sucked.
Yeah.
So good on Bradbury for owning it.
Just own it and let it sweep under the rug. Okay,
sucked
cool,
that
done.
There was a clip of Debo Samuel that made the rounds immediately after of him sitting on a panel with the I Am Athlete podcast calling him trash. That just like stuck there. But no,
all the 49ers were just talking all last week about how they got robbed and all that.
Yeah, but it just sucks. It sucks because it robbed football fans. That game was just about near perfect.
It deserved a better, like the game deserved a better ending than what we got. And it's the same thing that happened with like the Chiefs-Bengals thing, right? Of like, I guess like letter of the law, yeah, that's a penalty. But like, it just would have been so much better if it wasn't.
But that's it. All I want to do is talk about Reed and Mahomes.
I know.
And I want to talk about the Eagles.
And it gets soured a little bit.
Ref talk's kind of boring, right? No one wants to talk about ref stuff.
So this is what scares me the most about it. And this is what I hate about ref talk. And this being such a major pivotal play in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, this one was far more egregious, but your Saints,
PTSD from that.
Go ahead.
But your Saints, Nicole Roby Coleman, right?
Mikal Roby Coleman.
Who did he hit?
He hit,
two Saints fans. Can't remember who it was.
I blocked it from my memory, JD.
Yikes, fellas.
I don't know.
Tough look for the boys. So, and then what happens? The league overreacts, and they put in the reviewing pass interference thing. And that goes horrifically.
Yeah, lasted one season.
Reviewing pass interference is all-time dumb. I love the CFL. You know, that's my league. Go Argos. Grey Cup champs. See you at the home opener. But the pass interference review thing is childish.
Yeah.
Stop doing that. What I've come to realize is this is the best we're going to get with football. We have the eye in the sky that does the quick cleanup. The catch thing, there's just no perfect way to do catches. It should be a little bit more common sense, but they have to have the letter of the law.
You have to like codify it and
write
it down.
And so unfortunately, it is what it is. There's going to be plays where somebody catches a ball on the sideline, brings it to the ground, whatever, bobbles it, and we're going to have to do our very best. Sometimes it's going to feel like very much against the spirit of the rule, like in the Bengals where Jamar Chase caught that rock against the Bills,
mm-hmm.
where you go, come on, he's got 2 feet down, and he's already broken the plane of the field, and then he goes out of bounds. Like, stuff like that, I don't mind them trying to clean up and change. They shouldn't stop trying to get better with it, but I've just kind of accepted we're never going to get that perfect. Mm-hmm. We're never going to get that right. That's just the business that's the bed we've made.
Yeah.
When it comes to review and being able to break things down by the most microscopic way possible.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same with spirit of the rule stuff. Like hockey with offsides, there's times we're against the spirit of the rule, lame. That's a horrible offside technically, but that's lame. Basketball, the worst one is who touched it last.
Yeah.
When someone redirects a ball and it grazes off the
end. It like touches the particles of a finger.
Yeah,
and it goes
awful
out.
Call.
Horrible
call. And baseball, the worst one is being able to look at when there's someone came off the bag for a split second.
The glove was holding. Situation. Yeah,
again, those things are against the spirit of the rules, but we have to live with that. Because we have the technology and there's just no going back.
Yeah.
Let that be a lesson to you from AI companies, by the way. It's hard to put the genie back in the bottle, all right?
If we're on the topic of officiating, or sorry, we're going to...
Well, no, let me finish this thought.
Okay.
I'm scared that the NFL is going to overreact to this and do something dumb where they try and add some kind of a rule to this,
like that was my first thought.
That's what scares me. It's not so much the blown call. That sucks. I've said this before. All refs suck, right?
Yeah.
Who likes refs?
All refs suck.
And the refs, it's so fun to hate on them because everybody's allowed to. It's not a polarizing topic, right? Yeah. It's only the refs that go, don't make fun of us, especially the
NBA. No one's both sided.
Especially the NBA officials who, like I said, continue to do cringeworthy
MLB
campaigns.
MLB umpires do it as well.
Yeah, MLB umpires when they wore the black the stripe. That was, like, again, that's the worst thing about these guys, right, is that they take themselves way too seriously, and Ennis nails this all the time, but it's so true. They should all just have to take it.
Yeah.
Like, you should be able to talk to them like subhuman scum. No holds barred against officials. Just take it. Whenever they try to be bigger than the show, be bigger than the people, get into it with them, it's like no one's here to see you. And that's where you see their true colors, that they think they are here to see them. And even, like, I hate that we keep bringing up Donaghy, because people genuinely do believe a lot of these refs are on the take, and I don't believe that this is rated. I don't believe this is a script, like Joe. None of that stuff. But when you see Donaghy speak and you watch like his doc, all you see is a guy who's so into himself, right? Where he's like, and we in the official crew, and we do a good job, and we're this and we're that. Yeah. I get taking pride in your career, but again, these guys absolutely in their brains think that they are
like the third team on the field.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And
an elite group of
even when I saw Cheffers was the head official, and he had to speak to the pool reporters, and the way that he described the holding call, it was just so indignant. He didn't bend at all. He backed his guy. And I just pictured that, where they go back to the room and they're like, Jeffers is the man. He backs the official. You know, like, he doesn't speak honestly. He just went up there like, we win as a team, we lose as a team. And it was the slam. But please, NFL, please, for the love of God, do not try and instill some half-cocked rule about the last 2 minutes of games reviewing penalties. Like, don't.
The Bradbury rule.
We don't need a Bradbury rule. We do not need a Bradbury rule. Bad calls happen, okay? Yeah. The Chiefs, they got one missed earlier in the game on Juju. Mm-hmm. In the middle of the field, he clearly got held. They missed it. Move on.
It is what
calls
it is.
Are going to get missed. Strikes are going to get missed. Although robot umps, you know, but then we can't yell at umps. So it's a catch 22. It's
keep like, men be careful, just make fun of them.
Be careful what you wish for. All I'm saying is, if we're going to keep humans involved, which I think we should,
true,
because the games are more interesting this way. Human error does add to sports. Having every single thing picked up by the eye in the sky and having every little detail. Like, if you eventually go this way or this route, the further you go into the technology, do you know how many more holding penalties you're going to be? Like, you know how many more calls? You need to have the human element for guys to go, let them play a little bit here.
Yeah.
That should have been a let them play situation. That's what I'm frustrated with that ref.
Agree.
Is that, dude, it's 3rd and 8. He threw the ball 40 yards out of the end zone. And you as officials should have gotten together and someone should have gone, hey, let's not decide this game. And Cheffers and co. went, Nah.
We're the guys.
We decide. And that's what sucks. But please, for the love of God, this is what, like, twice as much money came in on the Super Bowl this year as last year. Mm-hmm. Twice as much. Let that set in.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of money.
In case you're not aware, a lot of money comes in on the Super Bowl every year.
The NFL makes a lot of money.
Yeah. And I do worry sometimes that because of this and the NFL's desire to seem on the up and up, all of these leagues, right? You think the NFL thinks it's funny that guys like Joe fall for the script, Joe? It's not. They don't like
that. They don't like that.
The reason we didn't have sports betting for so long, other than government's claimed feigning of public interest, where they go, no, we have to look after the public. And then money comes involved. They're like, how much money? Never mind.
Write the check
about that. But is that we did have things in history like the Black Sox scandal. We have had Donaghy. Mm. They don't want to have the perception ever that their leagues are compromised.
Yeah.
And so they're going to add more video technology and things like this where people go, oh, it's rigged because the Chiefs, they wanted the Chiefs. They can't have that. They cannot have it. Mm-hmm. And so they're probably going to overreact to this. It's probably going to make things worse. To me, just the solution is simple. You basically have to have refs. And I know they do. Like, even when you watch the Donaghy doc, they were all over him. They went like, yeah, we knew all about this guy and we're trying to trap him. We're trying to get more information about other people. Like, these guys aren't slick.
Yeah.
And if they, you know, Calvin Ridley gets busted on trying to make a $12 parlay, refs are going to get busted if they're trying to make big bets too, right? So I don't think it's rigged. I don't think that they're there. But yeah, I think that they should be paid more and that they should be taken care of in a little bit. They're already so secure, though, in their jobs.
Yeah.
And I get it. They already had a strike. We saw what's below them. Just refs are going to suck, okay? Accept it. Refs suck.
Yeah. They're going to make mistakes. They're
missed
humans.
Calls are part of the game. Honestly, missed calls are part of the game.
Yeah. I just wish they were cops. Like, you know how they, although I don't think that they do this very well for cops, it appears, is how they try to make them do the psych test where they go, hey, you can't just be a lunatic in here with ego problems. But I feel like that's like, you guys know that meme. It's actually, I think, at the Chiefs Stadium of the old man patting people down.
Yeah.
And he's not really doing it. He's phantom doing it. That's the way they do it for cops. And that's probably
the guy's just no expression on his face, just going like,
exactly.
Waving the thing around.
Anyway, please don't overreact. Now, Mahomes. So I wrote down the four most impressive performances in my life by a guy with an injury. And you guys tell me what I'm missing, and maybe we'll make this the video today. I don't know. I think that the injury was legit. Like I know I teased him a little bit about the hobble because he plays up the hobble a little bit, but it's hard to say.
Yeah,
he's just done it before, and now it's happened so many times, and then he's running on it, and he does look fine, and then it kind of feels like he's grimacing after runs to make it seem a little bit more showy, which I don't mind. Like again, that's just kind of a part of sports. Whatever. Even still, the ankle was clearly busted up, and that play clearly affected him. Yeah. And he was down 10 points to the Eagles in a game where it felt like they had nothing better than Philadelphia outside of him. Right?
Yeah.
You went through the checklist, and you went, what do the Chiefs have better? Tight end with Kelce and quarterback with Mahomes. And Kelce matters a lot less if you don't have a fully healthy Mahomes. My biggest take from the first half, and like I'm going to talk to Greg Jennings about this, was like, boy, did the Chiefs receivers feel non-existent for a long time. Then Juju showed up, and he, like, made some big plays in the second half.
Yeah.
But I think that one goes up on the pantheon. I think that one goes up on, for the lack of a better term, because this one always gets mocked, but the Mount Rushmore for me, personally, in my life, of athletic accomplishments with an injury or illness. So I'm going to start with my honorable mention, Dirk. Dirk only scored 21 in this game, but he had a fever of over 100 degrees in game four of the NBA Finals against a Miami Heat team that if he doesn't show up, like that mocked him openly heading to the court.
Yeah.
And Dirk showed up and he stuck it to him.
Yeah.
And the Mavs won that series. And I think that that one gets neglected, but if you watch that and you remember that, Dirk was sick.
So good. And the other thing about that team too is that that team was like Dirk and then just a bunch of guys.
How dare you say that to Jason Terry? My
he outplayed LeBron James. I'm just saying
that he showed up and he still gave his team 21.
Yeah.
And that's the standard of that player where 21 for him was like, not they needed the 21 to win. Yeah. And I don't think they win that series without Dirk showing up. And I will always remember LeBron and D-Wade walking to the stadium doing the fake cough at Dirk when he had a fever of 100. And then Dirk going out there and being like, nope, I'm the Balling guy in out. This series.
Yeah.
So that's my honorable mention. I wanted to put it in, but I couldn't put it over any of the other ones. By the way, I'm just saying these are the ones that like I've seen or really remember, okay? Because there was certain stuff, like I thought about trying to do this of the all-time, and I thought about like Kirk Gibson. Kirk Gibson was one at-bat in one game.
True.
He had two bum legs. It's an incredible feat hitting that home run. It's off Eckersley. Although it's funny because Eckersley has given up all the famous home runs, and it's like, he's the best closer. Yeah. It's like all the big home runs. It's like, it's also kind of his thing.
It must be so demoralizing.
Anyway, these are my four. The Jordan Flew game, 15 points in the fourth, 38 in the finals against the Jazz.
Has to be there.
Yep.
Yeah.
I have Mahomes ahead of it.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, because Mahomes is getting hit and he's having to evade and run and he's on that ankle. Again, no wide receivers, stuck 10. And he scored every time.
That's true.
Every trip of the second half. Like I said, they needed 38 points to win this game.
Yeah.
There was never going to be a scenario where he didn't have to score 38 and he did it on a bum ankle. He had three touchdown passes and he had 44 yards on the ground. They didn't have the ball a lot too, which is why it's like people will look at it and go, JD, like you didn't have 200 passing yards. I'm like, come on. That's not the one here. That's not it. And also the threat of Patrick Mahomes is what allowed them to be able to run the ball as successfully as they did with Pacheco.
Yeah.
Who was a massive player in that game for them. Like absolutely huge.
Pacheco's an animal.
He runs hard.
He was running through people.
I really love Pacheco. And you know what my favorite thing about him is? After he runs, he like sprints back to the huddle almost every time. It's such a cool little thing that's his.
Yeah.
Like, he finishes it. It's like he's almost so excited to get the rock again. I love that about Pacheco. But yeah, I have Mahomes there.
You have it above the Fluger. I wasn't expecting that, to be
honest.
This
is the one where I have a clear-cut number one. But this is the one where I'm kind of curious. Schilling in 04.
Mm.
Because this is controversial now in terms of, like, everybody hates Schilling, so they want to be able to kind of discredit him for this moment. And some people think it was, like, catch up on the sock.
Thank
no.
God.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's like, people say that, but no, man. That guy was fighting it. He sucked in the ALCS because he was hurt. Apparently that ankle had been, like, it had no, the tendons in it were destroyed.
Yeah, so I Googled this, like, a month ago because I was wondering about this. I was definitely, as a kid, always team, like, that's fake.
Yeah, no.
And then I looked it up, and, like, it had, like, stitches that were just popped. Pretty gross.
No, dude, it was popped stitches that had to be resutured, like, multiple times.
Yeah.
And he had completely damaged tendons in his ankle. And he went out there in a World Series game where they didn't know if he was going to be able to pitch, and he gave them six innings with one run.
Mm.
I also hate him and hate the Red Sox, though, so...
I know. I get it. No, I totally get it. Listen, if that's the card you want to play without giving Schilling his due, then I'm fine with it. I'm just saying that's where I put this one. Is it two or is it three? Jordan was sick, and that sucks, but he wasn't playing a physical sport where it's like he was pounding over and over and over again on an injury, and... Yeah, 15 in the fourth is like, that's a really tough one.
Could you also argue that, like, they needed his 38 to win the game, too? Like, you said Mahomes, like, they needed 38 to win.
They needed all this stuff to
Jordan, like, I get it. It's hard for me to put Mahomes over Jordan. Maybe that's just, like, nostalgia bias coming in.
You never saw it, though.
I didn't see it live. That's true. No, it was 3 years before I was born.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, that's why I'm saying it's nostalgia bias.
Just because.
Let the record show.
But that's what I'm saying, though, is because I grew up hearing about the flu game. So in my mind, it's just always above everything.
I mean, it has reached that legendary status, that's for sure. Like the flu game, everyone knows.
That's why I'm saying for me, it's like, oh, Mahomes is over that, but I don't.
I think this is, again, it's just, you got to remember that this is the best defensive line in all of football.
Yeah.
70 sacks this year, 15 more than the next team.
Which was the Chiefs.
Zero sacks against.
Yeah.
That is Mahomes. How many times in that pocket was he moving around and buying extra time? How many times did you think, oh my God, this is going to be it for him? This is going to be it for him. Yeah. And then he made a play. Like, and again, Kelsey was terrific too. That one shoestring catch that he made early in the third quarter. That was brilliant. They absolutely needed that.
He dropped and scooped it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kelsey was great.
Yeah.
But Mahomes made all the plays that mattered in that game. And for him to stick it out, for him to gut it out and not show those signs of pain, to run on the foot, to give them the first downs. If he doesn't pick up that one with his legs, the big run in the fourth quarter, like we're looking at Harrison Butker, who had already missed a field goal, potentially having to kick another long one with all the pressure in the world on his back, and the Eagles having over 2 minutes and multiple timeouts left.
They almost caught Mahomes several times too. Like there was times where they were like an arm away, hand away, and Mahomes just gets out and gets the ball out.
100%. 100%. Number one for me is clear and obvious, and I just don't even want to have a debate about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods winning the U.S. Open with a stress fracture in his leg and coming off knee surgery in 08. It's the most impressive thing I've ever seen.
It's incredible.
I'll never see anything more impressive than that. It's literally the most unassailable thing in Tiger's resume. Like, you can nitpick with his level of competition, some of the guys, like, you know, whatever. Whatever Tiger shot you want to take, 08 is, like, U.S. Open is, that's the one.
There's no argument for it.
That's the one that I have seen personally. Nothing will, I just don't even know what you'd have to do to touch that. Like watching him swing and just be invisible pain.
Every time.
Yeah.
Over and
but
over
still
and over again.
Crush.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I just.
It'd be demoralizing to lose to someone who's in that much pain and he goes out there and wipes you and you're like, ah. Oh,
actually, that one's so good that when I was putting this list together last night, it's the only one where I went, God, I want to go watch the highlights of this. Like, I really want to go watch the highlights of this again. And Tiger's back. He's playing this next tournament. It's like, no, there's never going to recapture those things because he put his body through so many different things, including that. Anyway, that's my list. If you've got something different, you can tweet me. If you lived in a different, like, I don't want to say if you lived in a different time, that's wrong. But if you're older than me and you think that I've neglected something, then hit me up, let me know. But yeah, those were the four. And the honorable mention was Dirk. Like I said, I remember how I felt about Dirk. I remember how I felt about going into that game.
Yeah.
And I went, boy, they're not going to have Dirk. Yeah, they were going to have to go to Jason Terry to be their number one scorer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Josh Howard, who was like out of the league a year later, despite being their second best player on that team. It was, yeah, JJ Barea. It was not
greatest of all time.
Here, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't the greatest team. Anyway, that's my list. And I think, yeah, I think that's where I'm going to put it. Is Tiger Woods 1, Schilling 2, Mahomes 3, Jordan 4.
Dirk 5, if you had to add one more.
The problem is with Jordan is that the branding for his is so much stronger.
Oh, like
calling
yeah.
it the flu game.
His shoes that are called the flu game.
Schilling is hated, so no one's bringing it up, even though that has good branding because it's the bloody sock game. And Tiger Woods is, has the worst branding.
Yeah.
It's just Tiger Woods on one leg. And you go like, yeah, it's got to be better way than this. Like, we need to call it something.
Tiger Woods one leg.
Yeah, that we need better branding.
We have to think of a name in the break.
We'll
think of a name.
2023. You need to have better branding. All right, let's take a quick break. The Leafs will not be put in the all-time performance rankings for what they did on the weekend. That was embarrassing. All right, quick break. Let's come back and chat about it.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
They got to make the decision how, you know, how important it is to them. That's really it.
Yikes. Okay, so whatever.
What a way to start.
Well, it's true. They lost to Columbus. Nothing new with these teams. I love how whenever the Leafs blow a game like this, there's a section of social media that wants to make that like end. See, this is a gutless team with no heart and they'll never get it done and nothing has changed and everything's the same. Kind of, though. Kind of. That was a pretty heartless effort. And
yeah,
some things matter more than others. This one matters a little bit more from this standpoint. You got a kid in that.
Yeah.
Play well in front of the kid who's coming off of a AHL rookie or an AHL All-Star campaign who has a ton of momentum and you might need.
Yeah.
Because the idea of having Matt Murray is a certainty now. You got to be out of your mind if you're still believe in that.
Yeah.
So here's what I want with Joe Wall, that he feels good about himself. And that's not how you feel good about yourself, is getting completely shelled by the worst team in hockey. and that's it. That's the worst period of Leaf season. And I got some pushback on social media. People went, lots of worse ones. I went, okay.
Yeah.
Show me the one where they gave up 21 shots in a period to the worst team in hockey.
And 3 goals.
Yeah. Nah, you can't because it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a game where it matters if you don't have Austin Matthews. Sorry.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Yeah.
You'd have to be down a lot more players. I will say this, though. That is a game where it does make you think about the bottom six because those guys, a lot of them kind of rot. And there's multiple, like Pierre Engvall and David Kampf basically got benched in that game because once again, Engvall was just incredibly soft and Kampf could basically not have a sustained impact on the game.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Leafs put some pressure on them late. They were better, but 40 shots with a kid in net.
Yeah. To the worst team in hockey. I don't know if we mentioned that. Worst team in hockey,
man,
by the
goaltending
way.
Is so much about confidence in sports in general, like a lot of it. It's one of my biggest, you know, people want to point to what are the differences with the Leafs this year.
Mm-hmm.
One of my things, and it is yet to be seen in the postseason because it really is going to matter on the major stage when all the chips are down.
Yeah.
But a big one for me is that Mitch Marner does feel like he's taken more, like he's just more confident this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's less afraid seemingly to be in the public eye.
Yeah.
He just seems more confident, whether it's, and I know that people make fun of this stuff because it's the Leafs, whatever. It is what it is. It's a different generation. But the acceptance to be like forward facing, whether it's been talking about his dog or doing the stuff with the skates or the way that he was at the All-Star break with the suit and like going out on the ice.
Yeah.
Again, this stuff is cringe. A lot of it is cringe. I'm not saying that he's like the coolest guy now. He's the swag captain of the team. No, but his teammates like him, and it does feel like there's just a different level of ownership from him this year.
Yeah.
To me, anyway, where he's more confident, and confidence has been an issue with him in the past. The point here is just simply this, is that they might need this kid. This goalie might matter for them at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's picking up points down the stretch because you want to stay ahead of Tampa.
You know, really make sure Samsonov doesn't get overplayed.
Yep.
Yep.
And have a bet hedged for Murray. You don't really want to have him open up going, boy, I let in a bunch of goals against a crappy Columbus team. I had 40 shots against, and I struggled with some of them. The last goal, the game-winning goal, was really not his fault. It gets tipped in. I thought it was a high stick. I'm not really sure. I guess because it was called on the ice, and they were talking, like Craig Simpson was saying, didn't touch the blade of the stick, and I went, I don't know. That's, again, one of those ones where this is the common sense replay where I just go, can't we just have common sense on this one and go, his stick is above the crossbar. Yeah. They probably should have called it the other way.
On the ice.
And so let's just look at that one and take it away. Anyway, it doesn't matter because the Leafs dogged it and they looked really bad. It was an embarrassing, embarrassing, embarrassing loss. And it is going to be, this is the only interesting thing from these next few games. Mm-hmm. Because they play the lesser lights, right? There's a cool game coming up against the Sabres. There's another good game coming up against the Kraken. Those ones will be kind of fun, especially the Sabres, because there really does seem to be some bad blood between Austin Matthews and Dahlin. And you hope that he's healthy for it. Cousins lit up Matthews once before, like, kind of sweet it.
UConn guy. It was. That's your guy, the Cuz.
Yeah, no, the UConn guy versus the Arizona guy. Oh, you got to be like 8 feet tall. You got to be like Adam Matthews against the UConn guy. Come on,
Buffalo is also like not a bad team anymore. Like, no, they got
Buffalo's
some dudes.
Fun. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we've been waiting on this to actually matter for a little while, so I hope that that game does.
Yeah.
But there's a couple games coming up here against more trash.
Chicago, Montreal, Chicago.
Yeah. That's pretty trash. Yeah. Toronto, though, should try and prove that they don't have a tendency to play down to their competition and fall asleep at the wheel. And this is a weird one for me because, you know, I'm going to get into a little bit of trade talk here. Kind of feels like they need a shot in the arm with something. Mm. But I'm a little worried that they do that too soon. Like, there's all these Chychrun rumors out there, right? Mm-hmm. I saw it being reported by, who is it, Bruce Garriott? That Toronto's stepping up their offer for Chychrun. You go, huh, this is like a week, not even a week removed from Dubas saying they don't want to take a big swing right now or that they don't want to include Matthew Nyes. I guess he did say in rentals, though. So actually this would fit lockstep.
If they extend him, then it wouldn't fit what Dubas said.
No, well, he's already under control, Chychrun. Yeah. He's not a pending free agent. So it's just, that would still fit. It would be fine. But yeah, they feel like a team that needs something more than just Austin Matthews coming back from his injury. And this is one of the cases that I've always made sort of for the Leafs adding during the offseason and making a change to what is an obviously stellar top four has been, I don't know how it starts to wear on you and feel when you're around the same people over and over again. And, you know, you start to feel those same patterns. And failure starts to present itself and whether or not you can kick into that other gear or whether it pulls you back and you start to get it like that's what choking is. Mm. And I think people fear that a lot with this team. So to me, they clearly need more in the bottom six. They need another defenseman. Yeah. I think it would be amazing for this team to get Timo Meier. I've said this a million times. Just to me, at this point, trading Matthew Nyes for a year of a short run of Timo Meier makes less sense to me than trying to build around the fringes of the roster, even though that feels really unsexy. That being said, maybe they can have the best of all worlds. Because I thought this was pretty interesting, this quote from Patrick Kane over the weekend. So Patrick Kane on the Rangers-Tarasenko deal. It's very forthcoming, by the way. Quote, "It's not like the happiest I've been to hear about a trade. If things are going to happen, that was a team I was definitely looking at. It seems like they have kind of filled their void and went ahead and made the deal." End quote. He also went on to say, quote, "Obviously, you want to do right by the franchise, and the organization here has been amazing to me and given me so much. So you definitely want what's best for both sides," end quote. This guy's clearly thinking about leaving, but he's not just leaving for any situation. Mm-hmm. I think the Sabres are too far away. It'd be a nice reunion to have him there, but is Buffalo really making the Patrick Kane trade right now? Maybe, but
maybe, but it doesn't seem like they're not a contender right now.
Yeah.
Which is what Kane would need.
They're also not in a playoff spot right now. Like, they're below the Panthers. Granted, with like games in hand, they're likely to pass them because I think they're only 2 points back. They also have a better goal differential. Like, if you look at them,
they are 2 points back.
Yeah. If you look at them, you would say, hey, this could be a playoff team and maybe he's the right guy for the push. Mm-hmm. Just feels like if you're Patrick Kane, you're in this for rings. And that New York was the perfect marriage of both of those things. Region, team, fit, championship contender, all of it. Mm-hmm. You look across and you go, okay, maybe the Devils, right? Mm-hmm. Still, despite them having a much better second half than people thought, like a lot of people thought that they were frauds and that they were going to fall out of it. And they haven't done that. In fact, they've got like 7 wins in their last 10 games. Mm-hmm. really, really good showing from the Devils the second half, maybe. But I do wonder if the Leafs kind of get in this equation. There's like they're close enough. And with the season Kane's having, if he wants to go to the Leafs, I'm not sure. Like, I don't know what the price of acquisition is going to be. I'm really curious to talk about this with some people. But when we're talking about doing right by a star, that feels like the price comes down. Mm-hmm. If one of the places is off the board, right? So the Rangers are off the board. Now you're basically saying there could be three teams. Maybe Boston's in it too.
I was going to suggest the Bruins as well. Because it fits the...
Yeah, shouldn't rule out Boston, but it also does feel like they're going to take the bigger swing and they're going to try to be in on Hurdle. Mm. Maybe they're in on Kane. Maybe. But there's only a... That's what I'm saying. There's only a few teams that could be in on Patrick Kane. Mm-hmm. So how crazy does the bidding get? He's not someone where you're going to have to give up Matthew Knies.
No.
Maybe he's the first, and Dubas is really playing up that first this year and talking about how important it is as an asset. But again, that's because they've had to remove so many. I do have a little bit of a feeling like maybe it isn't Taves. Maybe it is Kane. Maybe the Leafs are in on some of this. They have a history of dealing with that team. Mm-hmm. And depending on what Kane wants, it feels more real after this than it ever did before. I never thought Kane was going to be a Leaf.
Yeah,
never.
Neither did I.
And after that quote, I went, this guy obviously is thinking about it. And he said teams plural. And maybe that was his favorite destination, but it's not his only one.
Yeah.
And then if we're looking at the rest of the list, it's not very long. Anyway, let's keep talking about the Super Bowl. Quick break. Let's come back and let's see what Greg Jennings has to say about it.
Hey, it's Ben.
Legacies, quarterback greats, coaching greats, blown leads, reffing controversy. So much from that Super Bowl. Brother against brother. I felt, as a guy who has a brother he loves very much, it was tough watching Travis Kelce be up there talking about what he had to say. That reporter going, what did you say to your brother? And then he immediately breaks down. I was like, yeah, I feel that. He knows how much it meant to him, and seeing his brother there at the end was like, oof. That's an emotional drawback. But I wonder how my next guest feels about... the Chiefs just being like, receivers don't matter. Greg Jennings, Pro Bowl and Super Bowl winning wide receiver. What's up, buddy? How we doing?
I'm doing great.
seriously, though, it's pretty wild. Like, so much of that game, I kept taking down notes like, man, it really doesn't feel like the Chiefs have anything to the outside. Really doesn't feel like the Chiefs have that other receiver when they were falling down and they just weren't able to kind of convert on a few plays. And Juju was good in the second half. Like, he really did show up for them. But, yeah, what does it say about Mahomes that they let arguably the best wide receiver in football walk in the offseason in a trade? And, yeah, that they come back in a Super Bowl where they score in every drive of the second half where their best receiver is, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster, who's past his prime.
Well, it not only says a tremendous amount about Mahomes, but about just what their plan was and how they were able to really put together the personnel and the skill guys that they did to make it work. But for Mahomes, anytime you have a guy who's that talented, that special, you got to have pieces around them. Like, they got a bunch of guys. None of them are like stars, but they all have a specialty and they all leaned into their roles and they were utilized in their roles. And none more important than Travis Kelce. Like, you got to have a guy. Like, and that's what they have in Travis Kelce. He's a tight end, but he is one of the – we've talked about this all year. He's one of the most prolific offensive weapons in all of football, period. Mm-hmm. And you have that, and you allow everybody else to play off of that and get open based on what you have in that position with that guy.
Yeah, and that's the loophole to the question, right, where I'm like, they didn't have any receivers. It's like, they have Travis Kelce. He's the best pass catcher in this game, like, by a margin, and the other team has A.J. Brown, who's phenomenal, right? So, yeah, it's like a bit of a fake one because they have a tight end who is – arguably the greatest receiving tight end of all time. I think he's kind of made a case for it now, though, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. And there's been a lot of talk about it, but for me, I love what he's been able to do, and he's going to continue to build on that as long as he's able to stay healthy and play with Patrick Mahomes.
So I did a ranking earlier in the show, Greg, of the most impressive games I've seen by an injured athlete. And like I took out, hey, stuff like we were talking about Leftwich, right? And I was like, yeah, they lost that game and it was regular season. And it just, it's like that one doesn't go in the like pantheon. To me, like you have to have the success. So I have Curt Schilling in baseball, 04, bloody sock game. The Jordan flu game, you know, 15 in the fourth, 38 in the finals. Tiger Woods winning the U.S. Open with a stress fracture in his leg. And Mahomes, does Mahomes get the fourth spot for you? Because I have him there now.
So you have to be able to, you have to win.
Yeah.
That's your guy.
Yeah, pretty much. Because I know guys deal with injuries all the time, right? Like this is almost even the point of this list is like what you did for a profession requires an insane toll on the body. Like I can't remember what we were talking about one time, whether it was your ankle when you were dealing with your ankle injury, just like the amount of pain that you were in, man, I'm sure like your body has gone through just an insane amount. And that you could say that about so many different football players. And so to me, it's like, this is why it matters is Mahomes scored on every drive at the end of the game. And it like didn't really affect him. He used his legs. He ends up with 44 yards on that, like, you know, severely damaged ankle. He finds a way to win. He still throws the 3 touchdown passes. So yeah, like I put it there. If you want to say one that you think is like the one that impresses you the most though, like I'm here for it.
I mean, I think T.O. playing literally on the Brooklyn. For me, in the Super Bowl.
Over 100 yards.
I get it. And again, all the guys that you mentioned, like Tiger Woods, it's a one-man show. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, so for me, that, as impressive as it is, like, it's just him.
Mm-hmm.
He's dependent on him. When you are playing in a position that you are dependent, that's like a parent to a child who doesn't have a license, who doesn't have a job, who can't, you know, operate on their own, but they are just special. Like that's T.O. at receiver. For me, being dependent and when you get the opportunity, you come up huge, massive, but your team loses, like I couldn't ask anything more of them. So he's there for me.
Yeah, 9 catches, 122 against the Patriots with a broken leg and a torn ligament in his ankle. It's a great one. Like it's that if you want to make the case of the toughest performance by an athlete, that's up there. Like that might be the one. You're right. They didn't win though, and that hurts him. But yeah, he played 62 out of the 72 offensive snaps in that game.
He did. And don't get me wrong. Like, I love everything that Patrick Mahomes was able to do. I don't go as far as saying that's one of the greatest performances for any guy that I've seen. I don't go that far.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I know what it's like to play injured and to go in that locker room and come back out feeling like it's not even a thing. But today,
you think that happened? What do you think they did to it?
What?
Yeah, like
I think that happened.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. What do you think they did to it? They shoot it up? Like what happens with something like that?
Yeah, he got that shot up. Like there was no more of a limp. There was no more. It's like, look, man, you got the whole offseason to heal.
Mm-hmm.
This is Super Bowl on the line. So you do that. You don't do that unless it is like the Super Bowl. And so for me, even with that, it was still very impressive. Like, again, I'm not taking away from what he did.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, in that situation as a quarterback, you're given that luxury because you use that, but it's not a deal breaker. Whereas if that's a running back or if that's a receiver, it's a deal breaker. Like, you about can't finish.
Yeah. Again, the TO one, he's so close because it was 24-21. That game came down to the wire. And if they do win that, then I think you're right that one does end up being the standard bearer for everything. Like it's right there going, hey, Woods was impressive. And you're right. It was all on him. But the idea of you having to take contact as a wide receiver and playing as physical as Terrell Owens did, and yes, doing that on a broken leg and with the torn ligaments, I think it would be one. What does it feel like getting that shot? Like, what does Mahomes go through? Like, because it's also hard to think about, like, moving around and having a numbed out foot when the position is all about footwork.
Well, first of all, I mean, it's just like going to the doctor and getting poked. Like, that's just what it is. But it just numbs everything. You don't feel it. I had it done for me on my AC joint. And for the rest of that game, I was like, oh, my God, I'm moving my shoulder in places that I didn't even know it could go. Yeah. And after the game, in the following morning, when I woke up, my shoulder woke me up.
Yeah.
Like, hey, remember me?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is what you did on top of what I was telling you to not do. Like, yeah. And so today, after all that,
yeah.
He's probably in a boot.
Yeah. I think he'll probably be in one for a little while now, too.
But
okay.
It's worth it, right?
Like, yeah, hell yeah. It's worth it.
It worked out. Like, you trade that.
Yeah. I love it's of course it's worth it for him. Assuming like he's still going to be the same player moving forward, which I imagine that he will be. It doesn't like until we hear otherwise, he'll be fine. But yeah, it's pretty crazy to think about making that decision. And just like, there's got to be a mental toughness though, to knowing that the price is coming, right? Like that you're doing this and that like, there's not like a quiet moment, I guess, in a football game. You're in the huddle, you're the quarterback, you're talking the entire time. But just that one little split second where you go, oh, my God, this is going to hurt so much tomorrow.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, you don't think about that at all. Mm. You literally don't think about tomorrow at all.
I'm a coward. I would. Like, I would.
Oh, yeah, nah.
I'd be there going like, oh, no. I'd be standing there on the sideline when I was watching the defense going, this is going to be so bad. This is waiting for me. Okay, so what was the moment of the game for you?
So there was, for me, the punt return was huge. It was massive. Like, because there was moments in that game where I felt like, okay, as good as the Kansas City Chiefs offense looks, they're not really putting up a ton of numbers. They're putting stress on that defense, but they were given practically 14 points. And that's a credit to them. No doubt. I mean, Jalen Hurts just gave up one when he did the fumble or whatever. But that swing of events, you needed someone other than just Patrick Mahomes to make a play in that second half. Travis Kelce was kind of held in wrap in that second half, 21 yards, and other guys had to step up. But I don't know if it would have been enough without that punt return. That punt return was kind of a slow dagger, and then it forced then the Eagles to go and answer. And then the defense, I think that the second to their last drive where they had the three and out, the Kansas City Chiefs defense forces the three and out.
Yeah, it was huge.
They were asked, give me one stop. They got the stop. Philly's defense could not get one stop. Very disappointing.
Yeah, that's the next one is I gave a lot of credit to Andy Reid because, hey, it seemed like he made all the right adjustments in the second half. And as much as Mahomes had that foot shot up and that he was moving a little bit way better than we expected him to in the second half, like the story of going into this game was all about the trenches, the trenches, the trenches. And here you have an Eagles team that had 70 sacks this year, 70, against a quarterback who wasn't fully healthy and against an offensive line that everyone was kind of saying was just like a little tad overrated, and no sacks. Like Hassan Reddick, one tackle. How did that happen?
Look, they dug deep, man. I give that offensive line played their butts off, and they got better once Patrick Mahomes went down with the injury again. Like, Andrew Wiley, like I did this little battle royale deal with him and Hassan because I figured they would have him, you know, pass rushing against their weakest offensive lineman. He gave up 9 sacks, 53 pressures, the most on their team.
Yeah.
He was an anchor yesterday. He didn't move. He didn't give up anything. And when you see guys doing that, it's like you're talking amongst one another like, don't be the guy. Like, we're doing this with purpose, with an intention to win this game. If we hold up our end, we win. That's what they win that game believing, and they did just that.
Yeah. How much credit does Reed get for it?
Oh, he gets a ton of credit. Look, I think the job that they've done to retool that team, I don't even –
it's to make it to where you can interchange guys like Kadarius Toney, like Sky Moore. I don't think we understand the importance of that, because the two touchdowns that we saw, those, it's the same exact play ran by two different players from opposite sides of the field. But because they're interchangeable, like, you run jet sweeps with both of them. They're impactful on the jet sweeps. You get guys who fit a role and that can they can play other positions. Just like Juju, he's a kind of a glorified Kelsey, but he's not as good as Kelsey. You know what I mean? But he can then be that intermediate tight end type body. But it's things like that. You lean into what your guys do well, and you force the defense to defend it and defend it over and over again with presenting them different formation variations. That, for me, with Andy, what Andy Reid was able to do, Patrick Mahomes always had an outlet. They understood this is a great pass rush. We can't have our offensive line blocking forever. However, we have to have an answer. When they do get pressure, or it appears that they're going to get pressure, we got to be able to get the ball out, and you're going to have this guy, this outlet, this setup. They did that very well, and they never allowed the pass rush to get to him. And at some point, you become defeated as a pass rusher because it's like, I can't get home, I can't get home. And then you let up a little bit. And that's what I felt like happened in the second half when, you know, you in your mind, you think, well, he's not going to run because he's hobbled. So that then turns into a 22-yard scamper that essentially is the dagger.
Yeah, I thought that there was definitely that they let him step up, they let him run. They didn't do a good enough job of making sure that he wasn't going to do that. I still was shocked by it. I really thought that the Eagles' defensive line, like based on the performances that we had seen, the way that we had seen Reddick fly around, that he was going to be able to do something greater. And you're right. Like, the way I feel about the Chiefs is the McKinnon-Pacheco combination is really solid now. Like, Pacheco runs hard, just fits that offense so much, gives them just a different dynamism than they've had with other runners. It's weird because, yeah, they took Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round, and they take Pacheco in the seventh, and it's just yet another example of, like, you can't do this anymore. Like, you just can't take those backs in the first round, those luxury pieces. And then McKinnon, like, blocks well, receives it well, can run, just a nice fit. Juju works well with their offense. If he stays healthy, it's like you don't rely on him week to week the same way, like when he was with the Steelers. Kelsey's a beast. What I think they need to hit on still is the outside guy, right? The guy that can really, like, push you and hurt you down the field. It worked in the one game against the Bengals with Valdez-Scantling, but he had, like, one chance in that game, and he sort of blew it, and you went, oh, right, like, that's Valdez-Scantling right there. Like, not adjusting to the football on a deep route, the one thing that they kind of need him to do. But, yeah, I think that the offense is just, yeah, year over year, they're going to be able to replicate that formula that you're talking about, which is get the pieces that fit to that Andy Reid offense and continue to just dominate. There's just no way of stopping it when you have a quarterback that just, like, never misses that way. Okay, so the ref, the hold, what'd you think?
Get it out of here. Come on, man.
I know.
Like, I'm a receiver. And again, don't get me wrong. I'm not the one that's going to say, oh, man, you can't make that call. I'm not saying that. What I am going to say is, if you watch the play, Juju is behind the line of scrimmage almost the entire play. Like, and so if you know anything about receivers and DBs, like, you get that window of contact. Now, you see more holding and tugging and fighting and combating at the line of scrimmage, at or behind the line of scrimmage, because it is allowed. And so for him to be still behind the line of scrimmage, even when he's breaking out into the route where the initial hold happens, like, nobody's looking at him to get the ball in that moment. It's when he turns upfield, then it's like they're isolated. They're on the left side of the field, and it's nobody else but those two. So it's like the ref is like, I kind of got to call it. You know what I mean? So I didn't like the call because the majority of everything happened behind the line of scrimmage. Now, had they been downfield, okay, you're behind. You didn't even release up the field. Like, you're behind the line of scrimmage the entire time. That's my issue with it.
Yeah, it was a tough call. I really wish the officials just got together and said, is this really going to be what decides this game? And pick up the flag.
That's kind of what sucks about it, is because all game it's okay. It's a great game. I felt like they missed the call on the Ndamukong Suh hands to the face.
Yeah,
it was clearly underneath his face mask. He had the jersey. But again, you miss those type of calls.
Yeah, they missed one on Juju earlier in the game on a second down and nine. He got actually I think it was third down and he got mugged, and they missed it.
Yeah,
and
they missed that. And I think I don't care what you say, when you miss the call and it happens to be the same player.
Yeah,
the likelihood of you missing it again is, or letting it go again, it's not that high. You're gonna throw that flag.
Yeah, I just especially hate it because, to me, it steals from everybody, right? It steals from the Eagles. They are the biggest victims of a play like that because they don't get a chance to respond. But even for the Chiefs, where it's a spectacular performance, we want to celebrate Reed, we want to celebrate Mahomes, we just want to talk about the game, and then the officials have to come up. And it's been obviously a huge point of consternation for all these leagues, especially as like more money comes in on sports gambling, right? It's just more and more and more discussion about the refs and the script and the jokes. And it's like, this sucks. It sucked so bad that ends up happening, and that, yeah, Cheffers and his crew hit the pool report and just start saying, like, nope, it was a hold, and it was a good one, it was fine. And I don't blame Bradbury. I've said this already. Of course he's going to say it was a hold, because he's not going to be a poor sport and go in there and, you know, bitch and moan about the officials ruining the game. Like, that's just an even worse look. So I thought kudos to him for owning it in a really difficult moment. But damn, I just, that felt like it stole things from us. Okay, so you know I like my my sneaky moments of the game that matter to me a little bit too much when it comes to body language and discussions.
Mm-hmm.
I have one for you again today.
All right, give it to me.
So, first half, there's that overturned catch, and Sirianni waves at the Chiefs. He's like,
yeah, I saw.
And he's like, come back down here. And yeah, and my karma brain went, that's bad. That's the coach. You're not playing in the game. You don't get to trash talk the players that way. And he did it. And I thought, well, luckily Mahomes is hurt, because if he was healthy, this is going to be the karmic backlash in this game. Do you think that those Chiefs players noticed him doing that? Do you think that mattered? To me, it did.
0%.
Damn it, Greg. You usually back me on these.
No. 0%. And again, if you know Sirianni, that's just who he is.
He's too much. He's too much. I thought he had to learn his lesson a little bit. Like, you got to chill out.
He's not too much. Not at all, man. You have to be who you are. As long as it's who you are 100% of the time, which that is who he is 100% of the time, shoot, you can't be anything other than that.
I hate it.
So be that.
When he's doing the, like, the bicep locks, like, where he's doing the, just like, he's running up and down the sideline, bicep locking with the other coaches, talking trash. I'm like, dude, you can't be doing, I guess you're right. It is who you are. But to me, that does come with a risk of you just like pissing other people off. And it just is cringe when you lose.
Yeah, I think we've just been so conditioned to have guys like win or have success with a grace.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, don't do anything like that. Like, that's who Jalen Hurts is, which is why it's like, hey, that's who you're going to get 100% of the time. His post-game interview even yesterday was like, yeah, I mean, I know what I'll do with this loss. Like, I'm going to take from it, grow from it. That's who he is. Like, so when it's who you are, it's real. I don't think it comes off any different than the fact that that's just who he is. He's a fiery guy. And I've noticed that all season long, win, lose, draw, he's been that guy on the sideline every single game.
Okay, so last one about this game to me. Do you think the NFL in the offseason tries to get rid of the pushing the quarterback in the back play?
As far as...
Yeah, like have a rule. Yeah. Like you cannot just have this play somehow where they get rid. It's weird because clearly guys push their running backs. Yeah, like the Jalen Hurts push QB sneak. Yeah, just the QB sneak push play because it just it feels so inevitable now that you can get that yard. And I know that's also Jalen Hurts, right? He's like, the second best athlete at the position in the NFL, the third at worst. Like it's him, Lamar, and it's Josh Allen, but he's more powerful than Lamar. And like that lower body starts getting churning and you go, this is done. Like he takes one step and then there's two guys behind him shoving him over the line. And yeah, just it's taken away it's taken away like a question mark. I don't know how many times they got it this year. I can't imagine that they ever missed it on a yard or less.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't mind it because at the end of the day, like the defense can do the same thing. Like they can get behind their players and push them. They do it on field goals. They do it on extra points. Like, so you can do it. It's just at what expense, at what risk, right? So if they think they're going to do it and they release one of these guys that's supposedly a pusher in the flat and you got your guys pushing, now you just gave up an easy touchdown because it's fair game in my opinion.
All right. I hate it. I don't know why.
It's, for me, the Eagles and that offensive line, they just executed it to a
perfect
tee.
Yeah, 100%. And there is a part of me that goes, maybe I'm overdoing it because if it's so easy, why doesn't every team do it as well as they do? Like, it clearly is the combination of the offensive line and the quarterback. It just, I hate feeling like a play is predetermined in sports where it's like just completely inevitable and not inevitable where like when I was a kid watching Michael Jordan where I went, he's going to score, you know, under like a minute left and he's going to win this game. It's like, no, he still had to go out and do it. When the Eagles run that play, it is inevitable. It's done. There's so many, even in the game where people were criticizing Andy Reid saying, hey, the difference in this one is one coach goes for it and the other one doesn't on fourth down. I went, yeah, one team is designed better than any team in the NFL for that. Even more than Mahomes. So I can't really judge them on the same spectrum when it comes to this. Anyway, I don't know. Maybe I'm being too harsh, but I don't want to see it anymore. They get rid of it. I'm fine with it. Greg Jennings, it hurts my feelings you didn't back me on my karma play. It's the first time you've ever done that. I'll accept it. Thanks for doing this all year, man. This is really fun.
Absolutely, man.
Take care, bud. Greg Jennings, Pro Bowl and Super Bowl winning wide receiver. I stand by it. Karma matters. Sirianni was too much. All right? He was. It was too much.
You're dying on that hill.
Yeah. Okay, this is what I thought of. I thought of John Herdman.
Yeah. That's, crossed my mind as well.
Yeah, where I
went. Enticing Croatia.
Yeah, you just, when you're on that stage and it's the first time.
Yeah.
He says this is nothing. He played in the Super Bowl. He got two touchdown passes, so it's hard to...
No, it's hard to say Greg is wrong. Yeah. You can't... anyone in this room can't
I'm
really...
I'm mad enough to admit that it hurt a lot that when he said 0%, he didn't give me one.
No wiggle room.
He didn't even say, like, it's a small possibility.
Yeah, maybe.
No, but here's what I will say. For him, probably, you know, seeing someone be themselves, and I like it when guys are... I don't want Sirianni to change, but if I was an Eagles fan, it would rub me a little bit the wrong way when you're looking at... all the reasons why we lost.
Yeah.
You're looking at the call. Yeah. No, Joe,
that
finally
was,
happening for you.
Was
puberty.
I shouldn't have reacted. I should have just let
Young
you keep talking.
Young Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was there for MJ.
I like being here.
Anyways, I just, as somebody who bet the Chiefs, but I think anybody who knows me is like, I bet a bunch of stuff. I got multiple rooting interests in a game like that. The Chiefs lost. I wouldn't have been overly upset.
Yeah.
I wasn't necessarily rooting super hard for them. I think that if anything, the thing I was rooting hardest for was Andy Reid. I just knew how it was going to go if he was 1-3 in Super Bowls and the way that, like, I was getting tweets in the first half from people going, are we sure Andy Reid is good? I'm like, oh, God damn it. Why do we have to do this?
Yeah.
But I like Andy Reid. I think he's a cool figure in the NFL.
Yep.
And I didn't want him to lose to Sirianni. That was the one moment where I went, ugh, don't let Andy Reid lose to this guy. He's doing too much. The rah-rah.
Character battle.
Yeah. You like the rah-rah coach when it's your team, right?
Yeah.
When it's your team. Like, I like John Herdman in Canada Soccer. When he's going nuts, when Canada does stuff and you're winning.
Yeah.
That's awesome having that dude out there who just sticks. you know, his neck out and isn't afraid to say things. And you go, hell yes, because I'm feeling this too, coach. And I love a coach that's passionate. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to have the Belichick lame, right? Like no emotion to it. That's why we all love when we see Belichick talk about Ed Reed. Because it's cool seeing him actually look like he cares about something or be passionate about the game for a second.
Yeah.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're opposing that coach and they're running down the sidelines and they're just, it was just too, I just felt like that was the moment where I went and he waved them down and then it wasn't. I was like,
Well, there was the video from earlier in the season when he ran down the sideline and the ref was telling him to like move back and he's like, I know who I am.
Just saying, I watch a lot of sports, and I noted that. I wrote it right down. I went, that's a karmic bad no-no.
Well, especially if they lose, too, like John Herdman.
That's a no-no. Anyway, quick break. Let's come back. Let's hit what we missed from the weekend.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
See, I know it's a good Super Bowl halftime show because that, I want to let that run for a little while.
Yeah. I want to listen to the song now.
Yeah, like I said, maybe this is just an ignorant take.
But what a way to preface
I've never thought about Rihanna's entire catalog before.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think when someone's like, oh, do you like Rihanna? My first thought is Umbrella.
Yeah, true.
I go, oh, Umbrella. That's a good song.
What's your favorite Rihanna song? Rihanna. I have to call her Rihanna. Because my friend's from Barbados, and that's how you actually say her name. He's been hammering me about it. So I have to keep remembering to say Rihanna, or else I'm going to get into a lot of trouble with him.
Just keep it short. Go Riri.
Yeah. Or Riri.
I would say nobody cares what you just say.
I'm not trying to ask what your favorite song is, man.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if I, like, I would say that, like, my favorite song involving her was All the Lights.
Oh, true. Yeah.
But that's not her song.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I'd have to think about that. But yesterday, it's super impressive when you go through that many songs and every single one of them, I'm like, damn.
Yeah. You're like, oh, this one's good too. Yeah.
That's a really good song. That might be my favorite, though.
Umbrella?
No. Hopeless Place. Love in a Hopeless Place. That one is damn good. That's really good. Like, that hits, and you're like, my feelings. It's good. Kind of makes you want to move still, too. It's good. That's
we're
kind of
dancing here a little bit.
I was at my buddy's place, like, and we had a Super Bowl prop sheet, and the number on Rihanna songs was 8.5. And so I sat down and thought about it, and was like, oh, she's going to blow over that. She just got hit after hit.
Yeah. How many did she do?
Oh, you know? I mean, we
she
stopped
like 13 or 14.
Yeah, we stopped counting at like 11.
Yeah, it's too low.
Eight and a half is too low for Rihanna.
Yeah, that's true.
It took like 3 seconds. I was kind of like, oh, wait, that's a banger, that's a banger.
But that's it. In my mind, I wouldn't have been able to do that. I'm not a big enough Rihanna fan to have just like I've never listened to Rihanna on my own. It's like that's something that comes on either the radio or in a bar. And that's when I hear it.
Your Spotify Wrapped isn't just
no,
like...
No, it's not.
Rihanna.
It's, yeah, exactly.
I have Rihanna in mind. I'm not going to lie.
Let's go.
I do.
Well, you're the only one who hit that bet.
That's true. Yeah. I better have my money as the first song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way to
really
go.
Random bet.
Again, our show did great minus Pete, who is like, again, Pete is the only guy on our show that works on SN Bets. And I think he's the worst sports bettor I've ever met in my entire life. Like he's
I've met a couple bad ones.
No,
but...
dude, he is a nightmare. Like and the worst part is he came into the studio on Friday and I'm like, done, I got all my bets in. Mm-hmm. And he starts doing the like and the first kick of the game and this is the whole theory behind this and I bid it hook, line, and sinker, and Pete forgets, like, I bet way more than he does.
Yeah.
He puts like, yeah, that's fine. I'll never bet shame, okay? Like that's lame. That's so lame. People bet what you want to bet. That's one of my number one tenets to gambling is like, if you get the thrill from a dollar, great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was funny. My mom had a dollar on Philly.
Nice.
And I had lots more on the Chiefs, but I kind of wanted her to win.
Undisclosed.
There was like a small part of me that went, I hope she wins her dollar.
Yeah.
Like it will weirdly mean more
to
her.
What was the return then on that?
I don't know, dude. I don't even know what she bet. She just said, I have a dollar on Philly. I went, that's awesome. But also,
that is pretty cool.
Slippery slope. My mom, you know, she's one that she'll slow down a little bit of gambling. We got that in our blood, all right? So I was kind of like,
the Vunkus blood.
I was like, yeah, let's get rid of that one. No, she's got the Irish size. So she's like the Whalen size. Like, no. That side is like, that side's been known to hit a casino or two, right?
Or two.
Yeah. So it's kind of, who taught you how to do this? Let's nip this in the bud. Anyway, wish she won.
Mm-hmm.
Sad in a weird way that I won. Had lots, but yeah, Pete.
Is she better than Pete?
Yeah, of course.
Can't be worse.
No, genuinely, Pete is the worst sports bettor ever met in my entire life. And it's funny too, because like all he ever does is like the same bets, like, and then he tries to play it off where he takes long shots, but it's like, no man, he misses on everything. Anyway, what did we miss?
Well, say, okay, so quick thought on prop bets, by the way.
Yeah.
You see, like, the Anthem over-under, like, Vegas hit it within the second?
Yeah, it was, what was it, 159?
Yeah, no, they nailed
it.
What, like, how?
But that's the easiest one
they get. I know
that
Vegas is always right. But, yeah, so what? They just, like, timed out someone slowly singing the national anthem?
No, they probably are just able to get information even from the rehearsals.
Saw rehearsals?
Oh. Yeah. No, they have
must
to.
Have. Yeah, they must have. They must have.
Snakes.
Guessing it to the second is
no,
like...
No, they do. But it's always like that. It's always like that. They always have it nailed down. I feel like the... I bet you if we went through the stats of, hey, what's the most it's ever gone over or under, it's probably, like, within...
A couple seconds.
Yeah, within 10 seconds guaranteed.
Maybe even less than 10.
Well, that's what
10's a lot,
yeah,
though.
Probably.
Yeah, Pulse, it's also the anthem. Like, it's kind of hard not to get at least close. Like, how long do you have to hold notes for? Or how quick do you...
Just rip through it,
How long do you have to hold them?
Yeah, you get Eminem to do it, and he shows off how fast he can rap.
It's like 41 seconds. Like, what?
Yeah, exactly. All right.
All right, so what did we miss? So, the Super Bowl trophy.
Yeah.
And the first interview at the end of the game always goes to the owner first.
Agree.
I think it's terrible. I think that hockey's the only sport that gets it right. People are talking about it. You said you wanted to share some thoughts on the glory and the trophy and the interview going to the owner first.
Okay. This is the thing. There's certain things that are just such hardcore sports media tropes that you just wait for the people to roll out their take because it's just a populist take and people are like, yeah. But really, it's just, who cares? There's different traditions in different sports. Mm-hmm. So in hockey, it's a huge, heavy cup. It makes sense to let the big, strong player try to lift the big, huge trophy. It's aesthetically pleasing. It's a completely different grind where you're playing way more games. Mm-hmm. And it just feels right having the captain of a team lift the trophy. And it's our tradition. It's all we've ever known. I don't understand why people feel like it would be so much more gratifying watching football where Patrick Mahomes goes up and grabs it. Like, does it feel less to you? I think it's a trope. I think that people do it because it's a populist take and they just do it for a cheap pop. It's like when a wrestler shows up in a hometown and is like, hello, St. Louis. They're like, they know who we are. That's all any broadcaster or sports affiliated person is doing when it comes to like touch the trophy first. It's simplistic. It's lame. It's cheap. I don't care about it. Whenever I see it, I kind of cringe and go like, this is the best take you can kind of have from this game. Like, that's what you got for me is touch the trophy first. And I don't mind that the person who spent, you know, millions and millions and millions of dollars on the roster and is taking care of like everything when it comes to the facilities and paying, like they're footing the bill, gets to touch the thing that they paid for, which is like the ultimate prize and that they get interviewed. I don't know why people are against that. If the owner gets it done, like what do we always say in sports? Ownership matters, ownership matters, ownership matters. And then all of a sudden the trophy comes up and people go, ah, the owner shouldn't touch it. Like, shut up. Shut up. It's so lame. Let's stop doing this. It's got to go. The owner touching the trophy talk has got to go.
So I kind of, the trophy thing even is the thing that I'm bothered by the least. I hate that we just have to hear this schlub talk first.
But no one's going to wait it's like you have to put them first because it's like Mahomes and Andy Reid go first and then the owner starts talking. You're going to go, goodbye.
Yeah, but that's cool. That's when you throw to Gordon Ramsay's show about the
a hard pivot?
Yeah,
I'm watching the Super Bowl, and it's like, whoa, that was so intense. And it's like, Gordon Ramsay. Here's my 35th show on cooking.
He was at the Super Bowl, wasn't he?
Who cares? Anyway,
just say it. When
Hunt is the owner, the Chiefs owner, he came out and he was like, and we couldn't have got it done without Andy Reid. And I was like, yeah, thanks. Thanks for that insight.
But
couldn't
that's fine.
Got it done without the coach.
Dude, if you're a billionaire sports owner, you want, this is 101. You want to own a team because then people know who you are. I've said this to people over and over and over again. Name me the billionaires who are not the richest in the world or sports owners. You can't do it. People have no idea. Yeah. They're like, pass, pass, pass. They have no idea who has money. The whole reason you do this is so that owners feel like they can be known.
Yeah.
And this is a good thing because you want pressure on ownership groups to spend more money and to make sure that your organization is a world-class organization.
Like it runs better.
If you have an owner who's like not known or completely just blind to the public, or the public is blind to the owner, mm-hmm. there's less pressure on them. One of the impetuses for them to spend the money and to make sure everything is done properly is that they will be hated otherwise.
Yeah.
And very few people can sustain that level of hate from the public over those teams. Like, Howard Schultz sold the Sonics. Like, that guy owned Starbucks.
Yeah.
And he just kind of was like, you know what? I'm out on this. I want to make the money. I'm a businessman, but I don't want to be disliked. And no, I'm over this.
Yeah.
Good. It hurt me. But I'm just saying that what you want to have are owners who care and owners who are invested. And so if it means 2 seconds of an owner getting to talk and touch the trophy first, that matters. So anyway, I hope that...
I think it's pretty overblown. People make way bigger deal out of it than it needs
to be. Like I said, it's a cheap pop.
Yeah.
It's a cheap pop, and it's kind of a cringy move.
Yeah.
So sorry to any broadcasters that did it, because I'm sure there were many. I didn't see any.
Also, I mean, like, I hate it, so...
Yeah, I don't like it, but then again, it's not as much of a thing where it's like, I get mad
about it. I don't
mind
not liking it, but I think it's such a feigned outrage take to be like, in the Stanley Cup, they do it. It's like such a lame-o
Canadian thing. People go on
Twitter
and act like actually, like, outrage, like, emotionally hurt.
But only Canadians, because, again, it's a Stanley Cup thing.
Yeah.
It's a Stanley Cup thing.
I like the soccer trophy thing where they time the confetti cannons where
that's
they
win.
Well, that's why. Like, I grew up watching a lot of hockey and soccer, so my bias is that I want the players to touch it first. But then, like, when I actually step back and think about it, I'm like,
dude,
like, who cares?
You think
like,
one
cares?
Player, you think Patrick Mahomes for even a second is like
offended?
I wish I got to touch it first. Like, you think it would matter like a one iota more to him? Again, it's just to me, it's a boring sports take. That's all. I just think that it's
just
lazy.
Overdone. It's overdone.
Yeah, it's lazy. It's overdone.
How about the soccer thing where like the losing team has to go up and get like second place medals
and then walk past the trophy?
Yeah,
You know what I'd like
to
see?
The Eagles have to walk past the Super Bowl trophy on the way out.
I'd like to see a collection of like sports media people that do it every year. You know,
like make that take every year?
Like have that, like if you look at every Super Bowl where it's like, I bet you there's like
some fans.
I bet you there's a ton of people that do it every year.
It's just a schedule.
They might 100%. Anyways, what's next?
So UFC 284 was on the weekend, of course.
Mm-hmm.
The pound for pound 1 versus 2, Volkanovski against Islamakhachev. Makhachev wins.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very close fight. Some people claims they had it, you know, Volk going 3-2, but ultimately it was Islam 3-2. Mm-hmm. I agree with the decision. I don't disagree with it. Volk's stock went up.
Makhachev, you're really editorializing on this one, but okay, yeah. There's a lot of editorializing about you here, like on this site. You've given me like 3 takes in this.
Yeah, sorry. Here's
what I'll say about
this.
A lot
of information going on.
Yeah, I know. You were like, oh, Volk's stock went up, and I thought he won the second round.
I have a lot of thoughts on it, so my brain just started flowing.
I'm like, what's the story here? What's the question? Here's what I'm going to say about this. I have not forgotten about the UFC. 284, I'm taping an interview with Ariel tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And... yeah. Ariel and I are going to go along and break down everything from 284. I have some other stuff that I'm going to do with Helwani. But yeah, I'm going to save my UFC talk for tomorrow's show because, yeah, I'd rather do it with Ariel long form than short form. But it's good to know that that's what you thought.
Yeah. Well, I was looking at my notes, and then all of a sudden, like all the memory started coming back, and I was like, focus.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, I'll do a lot of UFC tomorrow.
Tune in, everyone.
Umpire Joe West seemingly was caught trying to make edits to his Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
The whole story is hilarious. The username CrewChief22. I mean, we were speaking about referees that think they're the show earlier, and I mean, no one was better than Cowboy Joe.
Watching him sign autographs in his retirement tour was...
That was wild. Anyway, like, Google the story. It's insane. He's now he threatened to sue Wikipedia for... we're not allowing him to make edits to his Wikipedia page. Anyway, the question I was thinking out of this is, what's something that people think about you that you'd like to set the record straight on?
Ooh. I think they've kind of got it right, the haters.
You're just taking it all, you're accepting it?
Nail it. Yeah, they're pretty good at nailing
scrolling
it.
Scrolling through your tweets like, good point. Another good point.
No.
Oh, good one. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of an open book on here. I don't really know what there is, if there's a thing that necessarily I would set the record straight on. I was thinking about how I empathize with Joe West here, because if I had a Wikipedia page of note, then I would be making sure the record was straight. Like, I'd be, he's Crew Chief 22. I'd be pod host 0101.
Well, he also
on there making sure
on the edit thing, he signed his name too. He didn't even bother to make it like hidden. Just signed Joe West.
I think that if there's anything, it's just simply, if you're going to be, there's almost like a confusion of what people think I do sometimes. That's the frustrating one where they go, you're a journalist, you do, or this is bad reporting, or no, you have a take on, like I'm paid to have a take on many things. Mm-hmm. And I do that naturally. Like I watch stuff and I have an opinion on stuff. I'm very opinionated. Yeah. I think in general, in society, no one really wants to be around the person who's opinionated about every single thing.
Mm, true.
So if you're listening to my show all the time and you're a hater and you're going, oh, I don't like your take on this, or I get that message from people sometimes. They'll be like, I don't agree with you on everything. I'm like, you shouldn't.
That's the fun of sports.
It's opinion. It's an opinion show. So, yeah, I'm not a reporter. I'm not a journalist. Yeah, every once in a while I think I do a lot more stuff tongue-in-cheek, I guess, maybe, than people realize. I'm not doing it for, like, clickbait or trying to, but I'm trying to be a little facetious with some things, and that doesn't always translate.
True.
So that, maybe, but I can't think of, like, a specific example. Even, every once in a while, you'll just shoot something out there and go, you'll say something just to be a little fun, because that's the point of sports, is, like, you're supposed to use a little hyperbole.
Yeah.
And so when people go, that's exaggerated, you go, yeah, that's the fun.
Yeah.
Also, when people do the, here comes the armchair general manager, like, you think you know more than Masai stuff. It's like, if the qualification for entry on discussing sports is you have to know more than Masai Ujiri, then guess who in the city gets to have an opinion on
rap? Masai
Ujiri. Like, and also I kind of think that's funny when people go, oh, look at this armchair GM having an opinion. It's like, well, like, I don't really actually believe my opinion matters more than yours.
Yeah.
But it's certainly more educated. I certainly put in, like, infinite more hours into my craft than the average sports fan does into watching the Raptors.
Yeah.
Or, like, paying attention to the Raptor stuff. You know how many more people I talk to and, you know, get to converse with, or how much of my day this occupies versus somebody else who just sits down and watches the Raptors game and tweets. Mm-hmm. And I'm using the Raptors as a specific one just because the deadline did happen and I thought that was the pushback. But you'll get this come NHL deadline where people go, you think you know more than Kyle Dubas? Go, what's the point of that take? So this isn't really so much of the record straight one, but no one who comes up here and gives opinions, I guess, is trying to say that they know more than somebody. It's just that,
like,
their
better
opinion. Yeah. It's a sports opinion. To me, that was always the fun, is having your opinion on sport, having a dissenting opinion, looking at things from multitude of angles. Also, if it was a science, then we would conclusively get the best winner every year. Like, I think it's kind of dumb to feel so...
Well, that's the part of sports, is you have a take and people disagree with it. Then
you
debate it and you're just,
I think I've said this before, but old takes exposed, or freezing takes exposed, used to be really fun.
Yeah.
Because you would laugh and go, oh my God, that's a big miss.
That
sucked. That sucked that you missed this. But now there's a weird thing of people go like, that didn't age well, or like, hey, at freezing takes, because they want it to
tagging,
be like, they want it to be like you're ashamed. And you go, why would I ever be ashamed of getting a sports take wrong?
We're going to publicly shame you for getting something wrong 3 years
ago. But for sports.
Yeah.
And I go, I couldn't care less about being wrong. In fact, there's a lot of times where I go, oh man, that's so funny. One of my favorite things that I used to think was, I remember I thought Damian Lillard, like, there was like four guys, I think it was like Thomas Robinson in that draft, and I was like, man, Thomas Robinson. There was just multiple guys, Damian Lillard. I was like, Weber State.
Damian Lillard.
Is this guy going to do? I was like, Weber State, he's like 100? No way, this is going to work out. Yeah, I love that stuff. I love being wrong. Anyway, we got to run. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave 5 stars. Again, Spotify and iTunes always helps me out. And we will catch you tomorrow with, who's on? Ariel Helwani and Justin Bourne in studio. See you then.